Knock, knock, guess who is knocking at your door? That's right, you know it's the morning for sure. Might be a geography, could be, maybe it's Mitt Romney. You know you love This Week in Mormons, original Mormon news. If you love Lindsey Sterling, Bryce Harper in Utah, and Jell-O salad foods, oh, you're gonna love this show.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe it is the 300th time I'm saying this.
For he's a jolly good fellow.
Me.
For
me.
He's a jolly
me.
Good fellow.
Me.
It's for the, he's a jolly
it's
good
this week
fellow.
In Mormons. I guess there have been a couple of times Al has welcomed us to the program, but we're just going to round up. It's
yeah.
a rounding.
And when you round it to the nearest 300, it's mostly been you, Jeff.
So welcome to the 300th episode, everybody, of This Week in Mormons. That's an impressive feat by any measure, but an even more impressive feat.
What were you doing 300 episodes ago? Can you even remember that far back?
Of course, I always remember our first episode. That was a hoot. The 30-foot
I temple. I was sitting in the office, in the back little office of a tiny quilt shop that was maybe a month old.
Is that where you recorded the first episode?
I did. I
are you sure? So you moved out to Colorado after you'd started the quilt shop? Oh, I guess.
Yo, yeah. Quilt shop was 2008, Colorado 2010.
That's true, lest I forget.
Yeah, 2008, we were, I was out in Boston, up to Toronto, back down to Hamilton.
Man, if only I could have gotten in there early. Been an equity partner.
That would have been yeah.
I had so much money after grad school. Oh my
you would
goodness.
Have tens of dollars.
I could have invested what was left over from my student loans.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a good idea.
That would have been
I did that when I was in college. I took out all of my loans that they would give me that were zero interest loans and then just put them in a savings account and made a few $100 while I was in there and then paid back what I didn't need.
It's a smart approach. Sound financial advice. Let's dedicate the whole show to
max out
advice.
Any loans people will give you where they don't charge you interest and then use that to your own advantage. I believe that is Gordon B. Hinckley said that.
Isn't that in Way to Be? Isn't that the the coda?
No, he said if it were me, what would I be? I'd be taking out loans at zero interest and putting them into low interest bearing savings accounts and very safe investments. That's what I'd be if it were me. Fiddle dee dee.
I feel like we're veering into Dr. Seuss territory.
I almost didn't know. You know where I was going to go? I was going to go Sylvia Plath. I was going to get very dark. Panzerman! Panzerman!
Uh-huh.
What if that happened at a general conference? How great would that be? Like a Thomas S. Monson poetry, and he's be like, just like some angry, suicidal British woman on her third wedding. And he's just like, as the great Edgar Allan Poe once said, brick me up a room and leave me there to die. Thump, thump, the beating heart goes. And you're just like, wait, whoa. President Monson, that got dark in a hurry. He's like, yeah, that's why I'm saying it's joy in the journey. You've got to enjoy the ride because you never know when somebody's going to follow you into a crypt and brick up a tomb. It could happen.
Absolutely. Well, this is beautiful. What a wonderful place we're at right now. I remember our first episode. I was trying to figure out how to do it all and this is back in the day when I didn't even know how to do a lot of the tech end stuff, Al. I used to record, and I'd mix our final show because I could do that. But I would have to send it to you, and you did all the publication work.
I'd upload it, put it into on our server.
I sat there, and I said, what is this WordPress you speak of? I don't understand.
You've come a long way since then. You run the whole thing. You upgrade themes. You change margins.
I'm kind of a content manager expert now. I'm pretty happy about it.
You really are. Yeah. No, at the time, you were jobless, and I had a made-up job that I just made up myself.
I was jobless. You're right. I'd finished grad school.
We were both single, wandering men.
More or less, yeah, and then we started the gig.
This was the most elaborate ploy to meet women that we'd ever come up with. We thought if we could just gather an audience of Mormon women with smartphones. That's who we want to advertise ourselves to. And now everybody is enjoying
the
results.
It was interesting when I moved to D.C. The show, we've been doing the show for like a year then. That was it. And I met people at, you know, social functions and stuff in the singles ward. And they've like said, like, don't you do that podcast? And that was a moment when we were only a year old. And I said, yes, I do. Apparently my fame has preceded me. This is joyful.
Do we have a fan in the back?
Hey, isn't that our fan?
Hey, you O'Neaters.
Maybe we've waned since then, or maybe the competition's gotten more fierce. We were the talk of the town back in 2011. Let me tell you, we were just...
Well, Jeff, you're married now. You don't matter. That's why I needed to move out there to really put the boots on the ground.
Talk about a weird thing, man. Basically, the conclusion of this, or the end of this year even, all have been married for half of Twim's lifespan. Which
that's kind of crazy.
Which is weird to me. And I always feel like we were the single chums doing it for years and years and years. But yeah, it's kind of funny.
We always agreed that once I got married, we would stop doing this altogether.
And that
overall,
is why
to be friends.
I have been sabotaging you and
ensuring you have not been.
I have been
your
ensuring that
me.
You date
you
terrible women.
You know your faith is very strong. It outweighs mine. Do not pray for me to stay single. I forbid it.
Whatever. You're on the High Council. Blessings everywhere. Blessings
abound. I have legitimately pitted my faith against women's before, and I said, I dare you to pray not to love me because I will pray you into this relationship.
How'd that turn out for you?
Yeah, I'm still single. You know, but sure was fun while we went.
I dare you.
I have fasting, and I... have been a missionary.
It's a risky move. It's a risky move when you really, you know, lower the boom. It can either go in your favor or the whole thing falls apart.
When you lower the ultimatum of faith and you say, do not force my hand here. I will pray to the Lord God Almighty.
And more than that, you say, I guarantee if you pray, you'll feel the same way. Don't deny yourself. Don't deny yourself this.
Now we've all right. Now that's funny to say because as a young 20-year-old, or I guess 22 or something, there was a girl that we'd been dating. We'd talked of marriage, and she wanted to serve a mission, and I was like, "You better pray about this." No. You pray and you ask if you're supposed to break up with your boyfriend who wants to marry you and start an eternal family. And instead go and do this selfish mission thing. You pray to see if that's what you should do.
Uh-huh.
Naturally, when it's me against God, I feel like God always wins in those relationship offs. So he's like 100 and I am
I like 0. To view that relationship like a constructive one where, you know, you're helping each other out. But I'm glad that you view it as more adversarial.
No, I was like...
You have to defeat.
I was proverbially blocked by God, and I was like God, why are you blocking my family moves here? And he was like, sorry bro, finders keepers, losers be a crying. And that's really how it went.
Okay, well, you
wait,
know,
so wait, where were you when we recorded our first show? Were you were in California?
I was in California
living at
my
mother's
mom's.
Still
living at my mom's house. I never bothered to live anywhere else in Orange County other than my mom's because it was free. I mean, why?
You did more work out of that tiny bedroom at your mother's house than I've ever seen anybody pull anywhere. I mean, there was no shame bringing women home to that
Whoa, house. The, my in-laws listen to this show. Take it easy.
The couch, I'm telling you, the couch was not make-out worthy couch. That was a hard couch
it's
on the
still
front.
There. It's the worst couch in the world.
Wait, gosh. And everybody just walks by, you're like,
And it's a hard couch, and you know the floral print design of it? It's the most, it makes it so you can't decorate the rest of the room because nothing else will work with it. So just these couches.
No, like you lay down on there, you get up, and you feel like you have fleas or something.
That
is a chastity
like that.
Couch. That is a chastity preserving couch.
That must be why my mom purchased it back in the day.
Yeah, I think it was.
Her priority.
She used the same design techniques at BYU Idaho, and she was like, metal bars in these ones. But then yours, she was like, this floral print and itchy fabric will do plenty.
If it's any consolation, my mother has admitted in more recent years that she regrets at least the style of the couch that she purchased. Now, at least from the way it looks. Now, granted, it was still a missed opportunity to have something like, you know, cushy and microfiber or leather or something comfortable to hang out in. But hey, you know, we're all learning as we go. Not everyone knows their furniture preferences at various ages. Who knows? You know what? Who's to say? We're all still growing. My mom is still blossoming like a butterfly. She has been.
Oh, she really is like a firecracker. That woman, just a tree. What a special gift your mother is.
She truly is. And one of my favorite things, listeners, as you know, Al is a family friend, of course. He used to live with us. But my mom gets like befuddled like a schoolgirl around Al. And it's the funniest thing in the world. She just thinks that Al is the most entertaining / charming man she has ever.
Oh, she's putty in my hands. Absolutely. You should have seen us at Jeff's wedding.
It's pretty awesome.
She was the bridesmaid of choice, if you will.
Okay. This just got weird. It's got a little weird.
Is funny to think of, like, how much has changed. I am still working at this wee quilt shop.
Yeah, quilt shop. You mean your...
No, like a snapshot of us at the beginning, yeah. Dude. This was a little side project that I was doing. I still had to pay the bills by doing something. We've come a long way, man.
We have.
You listeners, you our beloved listeners, have come with us.
Well, that's what makes it all worthwhile, man.
There are people who have listened to every episode, Jeff. And there are people that have listened to more than 10 episodes in a row sometimes.
Which baffles me. I get tired of myself after 15 minutes. And so that means I get tired like roughly 3 to 4 times even in the process of recording the show. So I don't know how you people do it. Because I'm already almost approaching
my
first moment.
I was going to
make
a bedroom joke there, but I refrained. Because after so many years of this, I have built some class.
You have learned? It's not like in 2011 when we had that. Remember we had that streak of innuendo-laden titles for every episode for like 2 months?
That doesn't sound like me. Maybe.
That one of those was the very first instance of Feel a Man's Hand on Me. That was the first time that article was
published. Oh, you can't not go for an innuendo there. You have to.
And if none of you know what we're talking about, I'm not going to explain it. If you are a newer listener and don't know, shoot us an email if you want. We'll tell you the tale or we'll refer you to the episode in question, which is called Feel a Man's Hand on Me. Chances are it's not in our feed.
Do not Google this under Google image search. It is dangerous.
I would avoid that. Neither image nor letter. Don't. Yeah. Nothing.
No.
Some Suzanne Collins book or so. You don't need to go there. It's not not something you need in your life.
So there it is.
So Al. Anyway, Al, I saw that your Royals happened to win this baseball tournament of sorts. So congratulations.
We are the champions.
I had
all this
no idea. I went to bed in the ninth inning. I said, all right, this will go to game 6. That's fine. They can win it at home. That'll be great. Harvey had a great game. It was late, so I'm going to bed. I didn't expect to have a message from you when I woke up in the morning that says, no, we took the crown. I said, what?
Oh, it was magic, man.
How did this happen?
And when you're watching them at the Mets stadium, because I feel like the Mets are such a hipster team to like. And all these
because they're the anti-Yankees, basically.
Pompous celebrities that are there in their Mets gear, like they've been on that wagon forever. It's the first game they've ever been to.
Jerry Seinfeld and
Chris Rock,
John Stewart,
Dumbledore, and you're just like, I just want to wipe these smug looks off your face.
Absolutely.
And the Royals won it. They did it, and they did it in New York. I'd never seen a stadium so deflated, and so everybody just left. There was no support. Ninth inning, Royals are rallying. They're not like, we can get them back, guys. It was like, cool. For sure, you guys all suck.
Well, that's the New York way of life. That's how New Yorkers are. They just lie down, curl into a ball.
Billy Joel's known for giving up. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course they
I like that. No, dude, it was great. And then we had a great celebration in Kansas City. We've been abuzz. We had like 800,000 people show up on the city square.
Uh-huh.
And what's funny is like we were looking at pictures of that, and then I was thinking back to when you and I were studying the Orange Revolution in Ukraine.
Sure.
The Orange Revolution, 4 million people on the city square. Would have been massive.
That might be an exaggeration of numbers.
Well, it,
I don't believe that 4 million people can actually physically fit on Maidan.
No, they camped through all of the city's center, Jeff.
Because Maidan's not even that big, really.
Maidan is not that big, but it's bigger than a lot of places we have in America.
Well, yeah.
Bigger than anything in Kansas City.
So you'll be happy to know that my Russian is coming along, even though it's very confusing. And we can talk more offline about the differences between Russian and Ukrainian grammatically. I'm very curious about it now because I came into this at least knowing how to read my Ukrainian and say stuff. And it's all wrong in Russian. I'm like, what is this? It's terrible.
No, well, the only one that kills you is those O's turning to A's. Who? Why?
Why like, they actually pronounce that the city in the east, it's Donetsk. Donetsk. How do you say that in Ukrainian?
Donetsk, yeah.
Donetsk, yeah. Is it Donetsk or Donetsk?
It's not Donetsk.
Because there's no yeah. It's not a you don't use the yeah letter. In Russian, it's a yeah letter. I don't know.
No, it's the N. Donetsk.
Yeah, that. It's the N.
Yeah. No, we have a yot that makes that sound in Ukrainian.
I've learned many crazy things, but I'm not.
Well, good work.
I'm not cut out for this case system nonsense. It's the worst.
Yeah, it's a little tougher than your pretty little Spanish.
Spanish is super, super easy. Let's be honest, folks. It is not a hard language to learn. Very, very easy. I think what are some of the easier ones from English? I heard Dutch is actually pretty easy.
Is it?
That's what I hear.
I've never tried to learn anything else. I gave up after Ukrainian and Russian. I said, I will never learn another language.
You should learn Belarusian just for kicks and giggles.
A little surgic. I'll speak my surgic.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Anyway, people, you have been with our meandering ways, our
bantering ways.
Well, we didn't always banter. We used to get right down to business.
Hello,
Jeff. How are you?
I think it was a concerted effort to say maybe we should chat a bit more.
Reading the news.
Because our very first episode, we like introduced the premise of the show and then just say like, all right, 2 minutes in and we're like, so this is happening in Phoenix. Pay attention, everyone.
They were 30-minute episodes in the beginning, and then we got long. We got 45-minute episodes, and we gave up and just decided we were an hour-long show. And now we dabble back and forth. It goes everywhere.
It depends on how we feel on a given week.
How did we get here?
Will it be an hour? Will it be 45 minutes? Will it be an hour and 20? I think that's the longest we've ever done.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I remember it well.
So we do have Mormon news we can get to. I mean, we could spend the whole episode just reminiscing and enjoying times of yore, which I'd personally be just fine with. But makes me want to go back to those throwdown fights we did during the Mormon Bachelor. That was funny.
Oh, my gosh. No, you were actually on the Mormon Bachelor.
No,
as part
I was
of the
on
show.
The Mormon Bachelorette.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is sadly still ranking well in a Google search about me, which I really need to drop, you know, beneath the fold. Because it just, it's still there. Dang it. I've got a lot of things that are a lot higher now. Thank you, Twim. But darn it, those two videos are still right down there. It's above my Google Plus page. I really need to invest
more. Every job
Google
you ever go to, that will show up and they'll be like, oh, hello.
I told you at my current job, they watched the video, right?
Did they?
I didn't know this.
Have you on the date with Aubrey?
Yeah. So when I went down the day I interviewed, they took me down and had me meet people because it was going well. And everyone kind of scrambles as I come in the room. I didn't think much of it. I thought they were just like goofing off watching YouTube and saw the boss coming and they just scrambled like people do. It wasn't until I got hired when they said, no, we were watching the video of you on your date. And then here you come walking in the room and we were all super embarrassed about watching.
Dude, that's awesome. I am very happy that you have that as part of your life. Also, the virginity I choose you. Like, there's so much about you that shows up.
I did not tell you about the greatest thing that happened with the Pikachu photo. Sadly, it's not going to happen. But I had someone contact me who worked for an ad agency, and they were doing an ad buy for, like, AARP or something like that. And they were planning on putting up a big old billboard, a big old sign in Times Square in New York City, New York. And they wanted pictures of people in their youth. And they asked if they could use my Pikachu photo. But they weren't sure if copyright would come into play and make it impossible. That's what happened in the end. If it hadn't been an issue, you would likely see my beautiful visage looking down upon you in the middle of New York City. I so wish it would have come together.
That photo, you look so surprisingly bad in that photo.
I don't know if I should be flattered that you think I
normal, good-looking man, and then in that photo, though, it looks like you have a, you know, that like you're mildly retarded. That's not a bad word, Jeff. I'm just saying you look like you were legitimately, you get that look sometimes. They have like a certain look to them. You have that look in that.
That was the point. I knew what I was doing. I mean,
you're very good at it. Well, I'm just like, it's amazing, and it's taken it. To lengths. I mean, you are famous. You are internet famous. Jeff has his own Reddit threads dedicated to him.
I probably do. I should look that anyway. Up. People are very mean, though, but whatever. Anyway.
they say
the meanest things. It's so sad. Like, 1 in 30 people will say, maybe it's a joke, everybody? And everyone's like, no, I'm pretty sure this guy does some pretty inappropriate stuff with that doll. No, it's very sad.
I can't imagine what that's like to read through that and be like, this is me. Guys.
It helps me understand when Jimmy Kimmel has celebrities read mean tweets about themselves. It's that, but on a far lower scale, smaller scale. It's
okay.
I feel for
any of
you
who don't know what we're talking about, just Google "virginity I choose you" and love it.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if it's still there right now, because you know people say "Pikachu I choose you." That's what I've learned. It's a thing. Oh, there I am, on the wonder of the internet. How good times. All right.
It'll never go away.
All right. So let's.
Mormon news.
Let's talk about various things that are going on. I give you, Al, carte blanche. First choice. First dance. It's
oh, sure.
It's boy's choice.
All right.
It's like mother boy.
I like that. Let's see. There is a Ted Koppel. You know Ted Koppel.
Yes. My mom, when I was a young man, always said I had Ted Koppel hair. That's how I grew
gross.
Up.
Well, okay, so apparently you have the hair of a 900-year-old man. Well done, Jeff. Ted Koppel, Nightline anchor, calls the church extraordinary and says that they are ready for a big bad thing to happen. I believe that's it.
Basically what happens is Ted Koppel has a book coming out, and he devotes 3 chapters to how Mormons are the best prepared for the apocalypse. 3 chapters, though.
Wow.
Like, if any group is best prepared to help out in times of crisis, the Mormons are going to own it, is what Ted Koppel is saying.
Which I think is accurate. I can't wait for terrible things to happen. We'll just be like, well, bet you wish you had an MRE, don't you, buddy? Or I bet you wish you had packed a 72-hour kit when you were 6 years old and still had diapers in there, because that's really going to help.
I just love the props from Ted Koppel. I mean, come on.
Every time I've tried to have like a 72-hour kit or something, you don't update that annually. You update that like literally once every 5 years, and you're like, how did I fit in those pants? This would do me no good.
Let's take a more skeptical, inappropriate look at the whole emergency preparedness thing. Like, what if this is really because the church has important financial interests in the emergency preparedness industry, and because we have to renew and refresh our supplies every year, that is an assured revenue stream.
And what if the church got into what if they were really getting into like cloud storage, and then they were really excited about moving all of the indexing online. And then what if the church had like a huge stake in VHS players, and that's why they won't let us leave them. And they keep them in all of the buildings.
I'm surprised our church buildings are like not the only places in the world that have Betamax players instead. That would seem like something we would do.
And you would have to watch that on like a tiny, poorly lit screen.
I learned a funny thing at State Conference this weekend. They set up a couple projectors in our stake center stagger them on the walls so people in the back can see better. And because most church buildings, except for, I assume, very, very new ones, you know, just have the coax jacks. You basically have your XLR ports, which are what microphones plug into, and then a coax jack for cable, right?
Yeah.
Now, for a modern day projector, though, that you bring in there, coax doesn't really, a lot of them don't even take it. They might have, not the traditional coax, you know, they might have components, they might have RGA or RCA connectors, maybe HDMI. Anyway, to get around it, apparently my stake has invested in a number of VCRs, cheap VCRs, somehow they exist, because they run the coax into the VCR, and then they run RCA cables from the VCR into the projector as a pass-through. So that's the workaround they have to
do.
That's
their converter?
That's their converter. The VHS player is the converter from coax to RCA. I feel like there's a missed opportunity for high def here, but I'm not going to get picky.
We could have gone right to HD. We could have taken that coax signal and really turned it into something.
So, yeah. And we had a good state conference. It was enjoyable. I went to many meetings.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even ask you. What'd you
Don't
do?
Worry about it. It was fine. I went to a lot of meetings.
You were good. You
I hung out with Elder Anthony Perkins of the 70, was the one visiting
us.
Did
they tell you that you were doing a great job as an Elder's Quorum president?
Not personally. Not even collectively, as far as I can remember. But... I liked Elder Perkins a lot. I didn't have much of a recollection of him from conference or anything like that. He's been in the 70 for 10 years. He got called when he was 45, reasonably young age to be called, and a pretty cool guy. I liked him overall. Nice fella. He's kind of like just a grandpa you want to hang out with.
No, I've never said those words in my life.
Well, they exist. So,
All right. Speaking of which, Jeff, we also did a leading LDS episode with Kurt Frankum,
we did do that.
Where we spoke of nifty things about like being an Elder's Quorum person and how we live our lives in the gospel. So people, if you want more Jeff and Al, go listen to Kurt's podcast.
And it's fun because instead we are guests, and I guess
finally the tables were turned. We're in the hot seat.
We are,
at that point.
And we speak exclusively about leadership in the church. So it's a much more direct interview about stuff along those lines. It's not us being ourselves. We are being...
You are welcome to listen to him.
And thank goodness it worked out, because we had just technical madness going on when we were trying to set that thing up. But it's all good. So give it a listen.
You're welcome.
All right, so some of the big news over the weekend. Many of you, assuming you weren't like me, didn't have state conference, probably had a letter read from the pulpit that the First Presidency sent out.
Yeah. The refugees.
All about refugees. I thought this was very interesting for the church to wade in on this issue. Unless,
especially in places like northern rural Missouri, where we have no refugees.
This is true. But the point is, the church is saying that even if they're far away, we need to help the refugees. And this is the first time they've waded in, at least on the current refugee crisis, particularly the European migration crisis going on right now. So the letter is very short, two paragraphs. It says, "It is with great concern and compassion that we observe the plight of the millions of people around the world who have fled their homes seeking relief from civil conflict and other hardships. Thanks to the generous help of our members, the church is providing assistance to migrants and refugees in several countries. Many church members have inquired how they can provide additional assistance. Members may contribute to the Church Humanitarian Fund using the tithing and other offerings donation slip. And we also invite church units, families, and individuals to participate in local refugee relief projects where practical." One thing here, bear in mind that when you do give money to humanitarian stuff on your tithing slip or online, there's a little disclaimer that says, although every effort is made to use it for the appointed purpose, the church owns the funds and can do whatever they want. So there's no guarantee that your humanitarian assistance is going to go to that very place. Now,
so when I write in there Mitt Romney presidential campaign, it may not have gotten
it
to
goes
the
to the it goes to the Jason Chaffetz reelection campaign. That's what
I see. Just as happy with that.
But I like this. Our buddy Dustin Homer, if any of you Sunday School Bonanza listeners probably know Dustin, he's been helping us out with that for a number of years. He's an international development professional. So he wrote a little article here on our own site about how we can actually help refugees, what we can actually do to get involved, and gives us great practical lists. Areas where we can learn about local relief projects that are going on, because refugees do exist within our communities, except for if you're Al.
No, where?
Well,
I'm serious. Where will I find
them? Urban areas. I guarantee there are some around me. In your case, no, the refugees would have been Mormons fleeing persecution.
Why don't you just send the refugees on and say, there is land aplenty. Go west, young man. Haven't you been told? California's full of women, whiskey, and gold.
So, Al, what do you think about this, though, about the church wading in and actually saying, hey, help the refugees? I feel like we've never really bothered to jump in on that kind of stuff before.
Here's my thinking on this. I think that the church is turning a corner a little bit because they're being much more vocal. Think of Elder Oaks in speaking of Kim Davis. Mm-hmm. Davies.
Actually naming her.
You know, some of that stuff. But like thinking about that, I mean, the church would never normally call somebody out like that or have a conversation like that. And Elder Oaks is just like, yeah, here's the deal. And then, you know, Elder Ballard, we actually shared that link on Facebook today about Elder Ballard, you know, sort of just saying, hey, guys, quit being jerks to people when they do something wrong. You still got to love them. Keep them in there. Family members especially. Like, they're being much more distinct in some of the approaches they're trying to take. And I think this is a great example of that. They did weigh in on the immigration issue in Arizona, you know, when all that was going on. So
and
this
in
is
Utah,
sort of
yeah.
in line with that. And I like the church saying, hey, this falls within being a good Christian, and we're going to call you out.
Yeah,
on that.
I mean, because right there in Mosiah, man, are we mourning with those who mourn? You know, are we alongside people who are suffering? And that's not just suffering from being poor in spirit. It's people who struggle, and we have an obligation to try to help people like that and get out of the politics of it. I mean, the Syrian civil war is a mess. A lot of problems there, but we can do our part to try to help ease that suffering and help people regardless of the political back and forth. You know, the church isn't wading in and saying that Hungary is right to seal its border or anything like that. They're just saying there are people to help. Let's help the people, which is, like you alluded to, Al, very similar to the immigration discussions the church has had. How the church has said, the politics of it are one thing, but we think it is ill-advised to break apart families above all else.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I like it.
Well, it makes me happy that they did. I was confused to hear it read in our rural areas. I think that could have been.
Well, you can donate money to help refugees elsewhere. That's what they're saying.
They're looking for cash. They are looking for
also,
cash.
Also, this reminds me. We had an email came in a couple weeks ago. We mentioned a few weeks ago the whole church reorganizing a district in Crimea and calling it the Simferopol Russia district. And we were like, what's up with that? I've been looking into this but haven't gotten a firm reply yet. So, sorry for the.
What do you mean you haven't gotten a firm reply? Have you gotten
a
reply?
Yeah, I've tried calling public affairs a few times and they haven't picked up. And so I've sent an email and I'm going to call them again. I'm going to keep bugging them. I want a comment about whatever is going on with that. But anyway, we're on it. Sorry for not responding to the emails about it. Are you cold?
Whatever. I don't care about you. Yeah, Jeff. I'm putting on a jacket.
I'm sorry.
Let's see. There's a. Just a couple random mentions. There is this BYU student who gets a car on Ellen, which is kind of fun because the picture that they show right in the beginning of the video is her as a missionary. And it's like, here this sweet lady loves. She goes to Brigham Young University and she volunteers and she rides the bus and rides a skateboard until she broke her elbow and then rides a bike, but it doesn't have brakes. I'm just like, this chick has got to get her poop together. Do not, like, this is not hard to get brakes on a bike. That's worth the nickel. And it is, like, why are you living this way, woman? And instead of getting a chastising talking to, which is
that's
what
totally Ellen's
got,
format, too. She brings people on there, then berates them.
I was expecting, like, Maury Povich to show up and be like, I got this from here, Ellen. You got to get your life together.
And then say,
the whole crowd is like,
you
yes,
are
he
the
does.
Father.
Why are we good, Miley? How are we good? And instead, she got a car, a Ford Focus or something.
A 2016 Ford Focus with Sync 3.
It didn't look bad. Maybe I'll get a Ford Focus.
Al, I think you should marry this girl. She's tall. She's only 21, so she has lots of childbearing years ahead of her.
That's fair.
And she's tall.
That's fair.
And she has a car. So I feel like,
if anybody knows this woman that won a car, I would like to take her on a date.
And you
get in contact.
Here and there you go to Utah. I really think we should look into this, and next time you're ever in Utah.
I'm in Provo all this next week. Al at This Week in Mormons. If you connect it up,
make
I
this
will
happen.
Woo
well, what's
her,
let's
and
I think
her.
If we name her on the air, it'll make it even easier. Let's name her. Say my name,
do
say
you,
my name.
Do you know
Carly
this
Christiansen?
Woman? Carly's a tall woman's name. I've never met
a
short Carly.
Bangarang. Get Al married, everybody. Speaking of BYU and being single, there's a quick little thing here at Deseret News about, you know, being single and being Mormon. I don't really know what ground I would cover here that hasn't been rehashed many, many times before, except for one good takeaway that being single is hard because
Wait, this is just another article on being single and being Mormon.
Yeah, being single is about family.
Is it written by Brittany Plothow? Why are we talking about this again?
Because you're not married. Jeff,
okay, you said there was one thing. That
oh,
was
nothing. I just like
here.
That she makes the point to draw the distinction that the pressures or you know, the right time to be married or feeling out of place because you're not married, much of that is cultural, not doctrinal. And I think that's an important thing to remember. That's all. It doesn't make the cultural aspect any less frustrating, but remember, it's not doctrine. It's doctrine that you should try to get married and, like, have a family and do stuff, but you shouldn't feel weird wherever you are.
I have not read an article about the woes of being single and Mormon and how that person has it all figured out and ever come away and said, that was really insightful.
Well, maybe you should write the article, Al. You write the article.
It would be one word. I would say, be a man. Ron Swanson. I don't know that that would actually make sense, but I feel like it's helpful in a lot of situations.
If you write it, I'll publish it. All right.
Okay.
Fair deal.
Done. I'll write the guide to being single.
So I'm very excited. You
really are. I found this Carly Christiansen on Facebook. We have no friends in common. I don't think it's going to work out.
I wonder. While you move on to our next story, I will see if I have any mutual friends with her.
But she seems nice. Let's see. This was kind of a fun read. There's an LDS connection to the Peanuts creator, Charles Schulz. His daughter apparently joined the Mormon church, and served a mission even, which I didn't know, and then went to BYU. And all along this this journey, he writes her letters and, like, draws Peanuts characters, frames about her as a missionary knocking on doors, and he'll write to, you know, draw her as a character, and all kinds of fun stuff, which I didn't know. And so it's actually a fairly interesting... Yeah. Really interesting little write-up. I enjoyed it.
I never knew that Charles Schulz had so many LDS connections. I had no idea. News to me. And then his daughter, you know, converted later on. And he was
open-minded by saying.
Well, it's pretty cool because she even, I believe she joined the church and she went on a mission too. And he said, you know, he spoke at her farewell. He wrote her every single week. She talks about how she basically described their house growing up like Disneyland. Like, he just did his best to give them a loving home. And that even though he was so busy being successful with Peanuts, anytime, she said, when she walked in as a girl to talk to him, he would just, like, put his stuff down and be like, hey, what's going on? And just hang out with her and talk with her. And she said that she never felt like he was too busy. And I think it's important for our children to have a sense, to understand, like, the realities of life. Like, we're busy, that it takes time to do things. It takes effort. It takes time sometimes. How much value is there in teaching our kids that there's, like, we're never too busy for them. And we're always, we can drop what we need to do. That's hard to do, I think. Like, I mean, I
feel like that just makes a selfish child, that they know they can abuse that power. You got to keep them in check, Jeff. You got to give them just enough, but then don't feed them for 2 days.
I'll try that with
God. See what happens. I don't have kids. I don't understand exactly how this works, but I think I read
a
book about this. Dr. Laura feeding. Schlesinger says, do not feed women and children. Only feed yourself.
Fair enough.
Don't quote me.
Anyway,
on
read this rundown of the whole Peanuts thing, because I never knew there was such a connection. Obviously, this is timely because the Peanuts movie comes out this weekend. So, synergy.
Is that a
no,
Christmas
it's a,
movie?
Just a Peanuts movie with Peanuts characters.
Okay.
Is Charles Schulz dead?
How is he still making Peanuts movies?
Well, because the intellectual property, I'm sure his family owns it.
Oh, other people are drawing now? It's not as good.
The quality is just greatly diminished. It was really the storyline. The quality of the drawing is fine, but really the narrative is just much weaker.
He really let his character.
That's also why none of the Peanuts ever swore either. He was against it. Very interesting man.
And because
a regular C.S. Lewis, this one.
And he used a lot of asterisks and ampersands to get his point.
I mean, the
across.
Teacher was so profane that
saying.
It just sounded like.
Yeah, like Scooby-Doo.
All right.
I agree. Wait, did you have friends in
I
common?
I did not. She seems to be into the photos, though.
Apparently, she does not hang out with other 30-year-old Mormon men. I don't know how we are connected.
Maybe she's on LinkedIn. So bizarre to me. Maybe we can find there.
No, she's probably locked it all down because of the Ellen fame. You know how
I do.
Stuff
from the time goes. I was on Roseanne Barr's show. Yeah, I know.
Maybe she's on LinkedIn. Hello. We've done business together in the past. I would like to take you on a date.
Find her.
That. Not with 20-year-olds.
Find her on Tumblr. No, find her on Tinder. By the way, very amusing to be sitting next to a couple guys during like a team meeting at work, and they're just looking at Tinder. Well, one of them's looking at Tinder, and the other one's just like pointing, like, "Oh yeah, that one. Oh yeah, that one." Just since I'm not in on the Tinder thing, it's
during.
Oh yeah, they're just sitting there during a meeting, just Tindering away, swiping left and right, just like the political system.
Yeah.
Speaking sort of politics. Thank you. So a new Pew study. I love all these Pew studies and all the ones they do on religion. So they say that Mormons are now 50% more likely to accept homosexuality than they were in 2007. And the exact wording of the Pew study is percent saying homosexuality should be accepted by society. Now, to be clear, though, it's still low. So it was 24% in 2007. It's gone up to 36%. So that is a 12-point, which is a 50% surge. Now we're tied with evangelical Protestants, which is very, very, very impressive. Jehovah's Witnesses, though, they are cruising down there. See, they surged by 33%, all the way up to 16%. It's crazy.
Yeah, that feels like I would agree with that. 2007 was a
this was we pre-prop. It was pre-prop.
Compare 8. Us
I mean,
now.
It was a different time. The iPhone was new.
Now to 2008, definitely not going to work. No, we've come a long way since then. I feel like
interesting one though. This other part of the study where it says the percentage of those who feel their church or denomination should blank beliefs and practices. So Mormons said 68% said, you know, preserve traditional beliefs and practices in 2007. It was still 70% in 2014. But, and the percentage who wanted to adopt modern stuff also grew. It's kind of just static, honestly. And then adjust the tradition. Static. So we might be more okay with gay marriage, but we still just kind of want to be Mormons.
We do. Well, and I think that we continue to try and figure out how that balance looks of you know, sort of evolving as a culture.
We are very low, though. We have the lowest percentage of saying that the number of having more women in the workforce has been a change for the better. We had the lowest percentage who said it was for the better. We also had the highest who said...
The highest
one who said it was Orthodox Christians, who said 70% said it was better. Mormons were 49%. And we're also the biggest one that said it was we were worse off for having women in the workplace. 23%. The next highest was 17% from Jehovah's Witnesses.
We were more adamant that women should be in the home.
Or
than
just
Jehovah
that
Witnesses.
Women have not improved the workplace. Or if not, it's worse just in general for everything, having women in the workplace.
Work now with women is awful. I feel like I can't imagine anybody disagreeing with that statement. There are binders of women now.
Yeah?
Binders of them.
I miss Mitt. Oh, so much fun 3 years ago.
It really was a good time. There was so much to talk about.
Now we're stuck doing
this. Let's see. This is terrible. A couple of quick.
We're pretty much on
mentions again. There is a Mormon coin. Did you know that Jeff, that back in the Mormon Battalion era, the church made a pretty crappy mint out in Utah that produced some coins that don't barely exist anymore, but there was one found recently. They have several that are still in existence. And they say on them, holiness to the Lord, and they have what looks like a crown, a halo, and an eyeball on the front. Do you know what that means?
I see a halo.
Don't. What would it take to get you to never make that face again? Do you know what the
I don't even know what we're talking about right now.
I like the handshake on there. Feels very Mason-esque.
We got an eye. We've got actually a lot of it all feels.
There's some old coins in existence. A $5 coin. It all feels very Mason-esque.
I'm surprised you didn't want to talk about, since we were on politics, the whole political beliefs. You know, don't let your political beliefs affect your religious beliefs. You sent me that one.
Yeah.
You should take
us
there.
That's a good one.
That was a good article.
I didn't read.
Why'd you send it?
You know I don't read anything. I was homeschooled, obviously. I just send you things so that you'll tell me.
You might be the worst person I've ever met.
Hey, I'm sorry, but that's the real me. And if you don't like it.
Okay, well, then I'll take us there.
I'm also.
This fellow named Matthew Jalalalayan writes a post here for the Daily Herald over there in Provo. And basically, his main point is that, you know, his life has changed the way he views things and lots of different stuff. But he says one thing he's noticed is there's a lot of talk about the church's relationship to politics in Utah. So usually it's Utah Republicans hinting that Democrats cannot be good members of the church due to their stances on abortion and same-sex marriage. Usually you'll see Mormon Democrats do some mental backbending to explain why it's okay for them to hold those views that are completely contrary to the church's stance on one issue or the other. He says, sometimes, though, these roles are reversed. You know, you had Kim, and he cites Elder Oaks calling out Kim Davis.
I love, there's somebody that I know that's quoted in this, and it makes me really sad.
Oh, boy. You'll have to
this Andrew Jacob Joyce talking about when Elder Oaks came or went and said that Kim Davis was wrong in refusing to do her job as an elected official. He had some, like, he was like, this man's remarks are an embarrassment to the church and the position he holds. And I was like, oi. When you see people you know with their Facebook statuses brought into print, you're like,
and that's amazing to think, like, we forget that aside from, you know, people often discuss, you know, the liberal side of the church and any alleged problems therein or what have you. But we forget that there's a deeply conservative side of the church, too, which says things like this, which when one of our apostles comes out with what's really a pretty moderate, sensible comment, just straight up says that's an embarrassment to the church and the fact and his membership in the 12, which is a pretty bold thing to say about the Lord's anointed.
It gets pretty aggressive pretty fast, doesn't
Any
it?
Mormon that would dare to sign a gay marriage license is a sham.
But they're talking about, like, the church is sort of coming, I feel like in a lot of ways it's coming to center right now. It's not as cool to be ultra conservative.
I am for helping
refugees
stay in their country. That's what it, or this other one about refugees. I hope they're not referring to the tens of thousands of mostly men who are fleeing their Islamic countries, oddly leaving women and children behind to fend for themselves. So the church takes a lot of different stances. That's part of what happens. And I love this line where he says, do your political beliefs line up with church teachings, or do you make church teachings line up with your political beliefs? And that's an important question for church members with the upcoming election season. And I say, like, amen to that. It's fine that we have diversity within our ranks, but it is not good if we are trying to bend the gospel to fit our own narrative. Either one way, either
or
side.
Or if we feel like, yeah, or if we feel like the gospel supports a political narrative or not. Because I don't think it does. I think across the board you're going to find incongruencies in either political party's standing or any political party standing with the church. And so it's bad practice to say, well, I'm Mormon. Obviously, I always vote Republican. It's party lines is what we got to do because that's what Jesus wanted. And the church has always been adamant about choose the best candidate. Choose the best candidate.
And then likewise, you know, do our political beliefs bring value to the community, or does your weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth just drive your community into contention? And that community can mean a lot of things. And I've definitely seen that, I think, more and more as we get polarized, even within the church, where you see contention among the saints about these things. And that is a very dangerous place that I'm afraid to see us drifting into, where we're starting to sort of become ites, like it says in the Book of Mormon. And that's very, very, very disconcerting for me. I mean, I'm mostly a centrist, a little bit left of center on a lot of stuff, but not everything. It's a mixed bag, like it should be for anybody. And it's not for myself, but it concerns me to see on either side of the political spectrum how much we sort of malign others whom we don't agree with, and then question their own worthiness or understanding of the gospel. And that's a very, very dangerous place for us to be. That we should avoid at all costs.
Yeah, truly. Bad practice.
This was a great piece. This was a great one that you found. I'm so glad this. Thank you,
and you're welcome.
Immensely.
Now, in other heavy hitting news, the church released a lightning safety video. One,
which is awesome.
We have no idea why. Why is the church releasing any safety videos about lightning?
It's under the safety and health media library. Trek safety. Oh, we've got a lot of these. So we've got Trek safety, safety through planning and relying on the Spirit. This one really sticks out, though. So you've got Sam Cloud, lightning safety, drowsy driving, get in shape, and safety e-learning tool. Learn how to make wise choices during church activity.
I want to know what funds these crappy video campaigns, and I am against any funds, either from tithing or from money that's been earned the good old-fashioned way, unless this is donated by an old person that has no reason left to live. We should not be using this money this way. Stop.
Sam the Cloud is pretty good, though. It does. I agree with you. It makes very little sense. I don't understand why it's a thing, but I like it. And it won an award. That's the other thing. From some gathering. It won a national award.
From who? Who gives an award to the church for
lightning? An award ceremony sponsored by Training Magazine.
Who shows up to get the training award?
Training Magazine sounds about a few steps away from Amtrak Magazine and then whatever the in-business publication is from your airline. That's, I think, we're about there. But apparently, at their conference, they gave the church an award.
And does Thomas S. Monson go up to receive this? Who is receiving this award?
Undoubtedly, our most charismatic apostle, Quentin L. Cook, goes up there.
To accept it. He's just like, I'll take the Sam the Cloud Award, please.
Or Elder Ballard, for that matter. I feel like Elder Ballard and Elder Cook could have a competition for, you know, levels of excitement. I would watch that competition.
Okay, that's fair.
Anyway, I actually think the video is highly amusing. We'll embed it up on the site with this episode over at thisweekinmormons.com.
So I didn't
know that I needed to be instructed about safety and lightning. Of all the things to like really spend money on, make sure we understand lightning safety. Is this the church saying that there's a lightning apocalypse coming? Do we need to know how to react to lightning because there's going to be more of it soon? Is that what this is all about? I don't understand.
And in case you didn't have time to watch the video, the premise is duck and cover.
Also, though, you know, don't spread your legs. That makes it worse.
Don't spread your legs? Is that a thing?
That's what he talks about. Yeah, it's a funny video because Sam basically talks like he's a cloud and he attacks people and the methods he uses. And when you spread your legs, it allows the lightning to get a full, basically a full circuit through your body because they're spread apart. So it cycles down from the ground through and then back down. Whereas if your legs are together, it decreases the force of impact from a bolt. I've learned things today.
No, this is an ulterior motive. The church is just releasing PSAs that support their Don't Spread Your Legs campaign.
Is this really because of the powerful lightning lobby?
This is not purely a lightning thing.
Are we going to find out the church owns
it all comes back
a majority share in some kind of like rubber company? So they all about grounding? Something like that. We own some kind of a farm in Malaysia. I guarantee it. There's something with rubber going on here.
There's something with the rubber going on here. That's
other quick mentions here. Provo is just getting ready for the Provo City Center Temple. That's what this is about. The open house won't begin until January. But as you might imagine, this will be a very large-scale open house where roughly 1 million people might descend on the temple. And they're opening it for...
We just call it a Royals Parade open house.
Okay, fair enough. And it's going to be open for 54 days. Usually open houses are about a month, but they're clearly stretching this one out to 6 weeks because of public interest. So there you go.
Also, the Montreal Quebec Temple opens for the public tours.
And this is after it had been closed for almost 2 years because of structural deficiencies.
Yeah.
And we wondered if that meant a lot of the mini temples they built back in the day were not sound. But I haven't heard anything else.
And we believe that that's true.
Yeah.
Don't go to mini temples. Only Newport Beach, we will never come back.
That's not like a mini. That's the second generation mini. It's better.
Also, Jeff, for our final one, this is kind of entertaining. There's a sort of a Mormon satire site, which we are generally against because they are patronizing. Terrible. But this one says, it's got a funny article. It says, Harry Reid is shocked to learn that he's Mormon. if you need a little laugh, you're welcome to read it. Kind of,
and it's written like speaking, Harry Reid comes out and says, I am in fact.
Right, right after we get done talking about how party lines should not be held to a church standard, nor vice versa. Now we go in and make fun of the fact that there is somebody that is not Republican that thinks that he's Mormon. How meta, Jeff. How meta.
I accept.
All right. Well, everyone, on behalf of Jeff and our 300 times that we do this every day, we would like to say This Week in Mormons loves you. And we'd like you to email us your gifts in currency form. Use Venmo. Just Venmo contact at thisweekinmormons.com. A dollar, please.
You can send money via Gmail now, too, though. So remember that.
Oh, yeah. Gmail would work.
That exists.
Really, handwritten letters aided only by natural light.
That's also
any of those would be functional. And contact at thisweekinmormons is where we'd like to get messages from you also.
Also,
visit thisweekinmormons.com.
I'm going to put the call out there. You know we love putting all of our various goofy theme songs
Carly
up
Christiansen,
now.
Carly Christiansen, I will marry her. Absolutely.
If you are musically inclined and want to record your own TWIM intro song, do it, because it only has to be, 20, 30 seconds or something. Email it to us, and if it's good, hey, we'll put it up on the show.
If
Happy
it's not good, it probably has a better chance of making it up.
And
there.
By the way, the fine print says you give us full authorization to use it for any purposes that we perceive as useful therein, blah, 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 blah.
That could result in death.
Yeah. So do that. Otherwise, also join us on social media. We're all over the place, so it'd be great to hang out with you on there and engage with the discussion of all of our community, the TWIM-munity.
Yeah, TWIM-munity.
That sounds like immunity, which I would also like to achieve someday. Both political and physical.
All right, Jeff. Hey, man, congratulations. 300 episodes. That's a lot.
Hey, I can't do it without you, my friend. This was your idea in the first place. If you
there we go.
Recall, we brainstormed this on a beautiful drive up to San Francisco, visiting a podcasting legend.
Leo Laporte.
And then we said, all right, let's make it rain. And rain it has.
That day. It did, yeah.
All right, everybody. So thanks for taking the time to listen, everybody. We appreciate it.
All right, man. See you, Jeff.
See you, Al. All right, folks. See you next week as we start the next segment of this existence. This has been This Week in Mormons, episode 300. Have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.